setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
I'm coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, and you have joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. The premise of this entire show is that every one of us on the planet was created to contribute through our work. So that means that work, a J-O-B, it's not a thing we do to live only. It's not just some task, something that I've got to do in order to get a paycheck. That there's purpose in our work, no matter how big of a deal, how well known the job is. That good work, honorable work, is needed, and it does matter deeply. And so we want to help you figure out how to make that paycheck and how to work on purpose. From Paycheck to Purpose is the title of the new book. That's the title because that is the journey. And it unpacks the seven stages that we talk about here on the program. Get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, give yourself away. What stage are you in? And we'll help you get to the next stage. You know there's more. And you are welcome to call the show, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. I want to lead off today with something that changed my life, and I think, honestly, it will take a lot of the pressure off. There's pressure when you're trying to live on purpose and work on purpose. There is. There's so many things you got to do, and you're trying to figure it all out. I get it. Lots of good questions. What's my resume need to look like? What qualifications do I need? Where should I go to school? All these things, good questions. The answers are valuable. They're needed. But I want to tell you a story that changed my life. And if you get this principle, I think it'll change your life and it'll take all the pressure off. And this one principle that I learned, I think is the foundation for anybody who wants to be successful. Just do this and you're going to win. So I'm 17 years of age. I'm packing my boxes to get ready to go to college. And I get to the point where I'm looking to see if I'm going to take any books or any things like this, you know, that's kind of on these shelves, this shelving, kind of an old antique bookshelf. And so I'm just kind of looking at everything, packing up. Am I going to take this to my dorm room or not? And so I'm looking at my books and I see a little rectangular book, probably 3x5. It was a quote book. And 3 months earlier, at graduation, I had been given the book, as all the seniors had, by our teachers. And so I was just looking at this thing. I hadn't looked at it before. And so I start flipping through it, almost shuffling through it. And for whatever reason, as I'm shuffling through this little quote book, it stops and my thumb kind of, we've all done this before, and you kind of stop and you look at it and it stopped. And I'm looking at the right side and there's a quote from Zig Ziglar. I'm 17. I don't even know who Zig Ziglar is. And this is what it said on the page. You can have everything in life you want if you will help other people get what they want. Now, I'm an immature 17-year-old punk. But for some reason, my eyes locked in on that and I read it again. And because I was a punk and really immature and very ambitious, I was like, okay. Ah, now that I want to get everything I want. So if that's how I get everything I want, that's what I'm going to do. And it was years later that I really began to grit the great significance of what Zig was saying there. And what Zig was saying was, look for opportunities. Get your eyes up, your antenna extended, and look for opportunities to add value to people, to help people. And if you do a really good job of helping people, all the things that you desire, well, you'll get. And in one simple phrase, Zig unveils what I think is the great law of reciprocity. Reciprocal, like good things are coming to me if I do good things for other people. This is not a new concept. This isn't even hard for a teenager like me to understand. And at 47, I'm still trying to do it really, really well. And I'm telling you that if you just figure out how you can help people get what they want, everything that you desire will come to you. So that should just put everybody at ease. This isn't that complex. Yes, you need the answers to all those other questions. That's why we provide you those resources. It's why we open up the phones to be able to go through the specifics. But if you could just grab that powerful principle, I guarantee you that you're unstoppable. You just are. Because you're going to help people. And people who help people are going to be fine. They're going to be fine. 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Justin, who joins us in Paragould, Arkansas. Justin, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey. So I'm sitting here in my high school right now. I'm a junior.
Okay.
And I've been wanting to do some research in college, and I have. I've been doing some. And, you know, I was worried because, like, my principal was telling me, well, you could just get a college degree in state, and it's cheaper. And I was like, I don't think that's a good idea, because do you think, like, if you had this business and two people walked in and say, I got an in-state degree, and then this person got a degree from Yale or Harvard, a really good college, but I have a better personality and I have good workmanship and stuff like that. I mean, wouldn't it be smarter to hire the person with the Harvard or Yale degree, though, because that person is, you know, probably more educated or smarter?
No. First of all, let me just break this down for you. And I love the fact that you're a junior in high school and you're calling me from school. I'm very excited. So I'm going to just tell you what the reality is. Hiring managers in your scenario that you gave us, they care about one thing and one thing only. Who can help me win? They don't care about Yale. They don't care about Harvard. Does a Yale degree or a Harvard degree, does it come with some prestige? Absolutely. But when a hiring manager, a leader, is making the decision to hire somebody, they're not looking at, well, this guy, Justin, he's good. He's a great candidate. I think on the surface of everything that I see, he's the best candidate, except that he went to a state school. And the person he's up against, he's better than they are, but they went to Yale. I'd be an idiot not to hire the person from Yale. There's no chance in the world that happens, Justin, because they only care about one thing, and the one thing that they should care about. Who is the best person to help me win? Do you play sports or watch sports at all?
Yeah, I play a little football.
Okay, you play a little football. What position do you play?
Running back, wide receiver.
Okay. Does your coach or most coaches, do they put the person that has the parents with the most impressive life and the best house and the nicest cars and all the credentials in the position of starting running back? Or do they put the kid they think is going to be the best running back?
I feel like they'd pick the kid that's probably going to be the best running back.
Of course. Same thing in real life. Nobody cares. Let me give you one other scenario. Do you remember the last time you went to the doctor? You do?
Yeah.
I'll bet you never asked him to show you his diploma. You just went to the doctor because your mom and dad said that they trusted him, and you just went, okay, I'm going to trust this doctor. You never asked that doctor one time when I went to school. Nobody cares, young man. Stay in state. Get to the degree.
If you can't seem to shake the feeling that you were meant for more than a mediocre job, you're right. You were created to fill a unique role that you're excited about. That's why I wrote my new book, From Paycheck to Purpose, The Clear Path to Doing Work You Love. It's available for pre-order now. This book has a step-by-step plan to help you start doing work that matters. Plus, if you pre-order From Paycheck to Purpose today, you'll receive our Get Hired bonus pack for free, which is $100 value. Pre-order now for only $20 and get over $100 in bonus items at RamseySolutions.com.
Ken Coleman Show continues to gather a group of women and men who want to live on purpose. You know there's a unique contribution your soul longs to make. Yes, and success. You see, that comes along with this journey. If I'm reaching for clarity so that I can find my significant contribution and make it in this world, and it's all about helping others, making this world a better place, and oh man, I'll make plenty of money. The money's there, and it follows meaning. The money follows meaning. I promise. I want to help you get there. 844-747-2577. Hey, if you're thinking about making the switch right now, we're in the year they're calling the Great Resignation. And some of you are going, I just don't know if it's worth it. I'd rather be miserable than uncomfortable. What if I told you, if you use all of the tools available to you here at the Ken Coleman Show and on our website, kencoleman.com, it's not that miserable. But what if you could use the number one hiring site in the United States and it's free to you? What if you could add to your tool belt a world-class recruiter in the form of ZipRecruiter? It's a free service to you. It doesn't cost you anything. It takes you just minutes to fill out a profile. They begin to match you up immediately, and you get updates all along the way. So it takes the yuck and the suck out of the hiring process. Updates when somebody looks at your profile. Updates when they like it. Updates when they ask for your contact information, and they allow the companies to contact you directly and say, hey, we want you to apply. We want to interview you. It's a great service, and it's free. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go today. All right, to the phones we go. Cottage Grove, Oregon. John is there. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Living the dream, John.
So my question is, I work at a place where, or I should start with, I want to do a side hustle because my end goal, my dream is to be an entrepreneur, own my own business, doing what I do right now, which is what I do best and what I love to do. The issue is most of the places and employers in my industry, it's a known thing that if you go out on your own on any kind of side job, you're pretty much taking money away from those businesses. So they just, you end up getting fired one way or another. So what I was asking is, how do you suggest getting a side hustle going so you can enter the industry without, while still maintaining your income and working the dream job you've been loving so far?
Well, the way you set that up sounds like if somehow, some way, and I don't know how easy this will be or how clandestine you could be, but if they find out about it, they're going to fire you. So I guess it comes down, the way you set it up, I guess it comes down to how quiet you can keep it. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, I didn't know, like, did you think, like, trying to keep it quiet, taking the risk would be worth the reward in the end if you get caught early? And then, like, how that damages your reputation going forward if you had to get employed by somebody else.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah.
Kind of a pickle-y spot.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, I go, what needs to be true? So the good news is you're loving your work. You're in your sweet spot. And I'm guessing you're being pretty successful. Like, you're making strides. Yes. Making more money, have opportunity to make even more money.
I'm doing well, but I've kind of hit a spot where, like, income, I've been making strides in income over the last decade or so that are pretty significant, but now I've kind of hit a spot to where there's not really a whole lot more growth until I start going out on my own. The income gap between working for somebody and going out on your own is so astronomical.
How much money are you making right now?
So right now I'm making about $80 a year.
Okay. Do you have any debt?
I have some debt, yeah. I have some student loan debt that we're trying to get cleaned up in baby step two right now.
Okay, great. How long before you're out of baby step two?
Looking like about 18 to 20 months, something like that.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not, so there's part of your answer. I don't want you to start a side hustle that could potentially get you fired until you've got a financial plan to be able to do so, and now's not the time. You got to get out of debt. I want to get your emergency fund in place too. So baby step two and three, I think you got to be done with that first. In my opinion, if this is that risky, my only question is, if it's not a conflict of interest, is it true that you would be fired if they found, if you're doing a great job and you're knocking it out of the park? And I'm trying to stay out of your details because I don't want you to tell me too much, because I understand some of this stuff is sensitive. So I'm being vague on purpose unless you want to share more. But if you're not actually stealing their clients and you're not doing any of that stuff that you said people think, then I don't know necessarily you should assume that you would get fired. If you're doing everything on the up and up, why the assumption that you would get fired?
It's just once the word gets out there, you don't even have to be taking their clientele per se, but once the word gets out there, because it's a pretty tight-knit community where we're at in this region, and basically the company I work for, they don't just do one aspect of the industry. Like, they cover multiple different companies within the industry. So, like, if so-and-so over this company hears that I'm doing their work and they still work for us, you end up getting back to my boss, and he'd be like, you can't do that.
Okay,
what
got
are you
it.
Doing?
So we
You're
can't,
taking money
so,
from all of us.
So. Okay, so I just don't think we should take that risk. How long do you think it would take you to make $80,000 if you went out on your own today and guaranteed that you couldn't fail? How long do you, moderate guess, not some super aggressive, overly positive guess, how long would it take you to make 80?
I think it would take me a solid like year and a half from the business plan I've made, looking at, you know, the expenses involved with it while you're operating and what you're going to net in the end. It's going to take about a year and a half to build that base and grow to that level.
Okay, great. So now my next question is, how much money would you ideally want in your savings account, personal or if you said I put it in company XYZ that I just found, how much money would you want in the bank to where you felt comfortable that you weren't going to be struggling in that year and a half period to get up to 80?
I think once all the debts are paid off, we can have probably about 100 in there to start the business and still be comfortable with all of our bills for that year and a half.
Perfect. I think that is your answer. I think you do this when you got the 100 there. I think this is a math answer. It's not a strategy answer. There's no tips that I can give you because this is straight up math. You know you can win in this business. I feel you're pretty confident about that, and I have every reason to believe that you will because you're a pro and you're winning at it now. It's just a function of you going out and doing it on your own. So I think you wait until you can get 100 grand in the bank. Unless...
Makes sense.
I know. Unless you go do something else. Here's another option, and I don't know if it's an actual real option. It's just on paper. Do you have transferable skills and experience where you could go get another day job that's not in the same industry so you don't have the risk, right, of being fired? Can you make 80 doing something else in another industry, then start this thing on the side? Then we fast forward everything. Is that possible?
I've been looking at options to do that.
That's what I'd be looking
but
at.
But I'm not networked. I'm like not networked in my degree. I'm networked in my occupation and what I'm doing.
Doesn't matter.
And I've been trying to hop over to my degree to try to, you know, build that up so that way I can transfer back and start my own thing, do what I'm loving now. So
yeah, but my point is you're making an excuse there, and I'm not trying to beat up on you. I'm trying to push you. That's an excuse. You know tons of people in your industry. And those people know people in other industries. You go look for jobs that you can do. You got to go first do some research. And I don't even think it has to be tied to your degree. I certainly understand why you're doing that. I'd look there too. But one lane is what your degree is in, and there are other lanes out there. Am I right? You have transferable skills and experience in other industries, yes or no?
Absolutely.
So look at all of them. And then you look for gigs, you go, oh, based on this job description, there's no question in my mind. I can do this. Doesn't have to be sweet spot. Doesn't have to be talent, passion, mission. Not for a day job. I lower the standard for a day job, right? I just say talent enough. Talent alone is enough because I don't need to love it. It's a temporary deal for me to get to the dream. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So open your mind. Go see it. Go see all the possibilities. Then you go back to all your contacts and go, do you know somebody over at company XYZ? What about ABC? What about, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. That way we identify what it is we want that we know we can do as a great day job that allow me to make even more money potentially, but at least replace my 80 and allow me to start the dream job on the side. I'm making more money. Now I'm off and running. That's at least in my mind. That's the best case scenario, and I would approach it that way. If you can't do that, we've already talked about the other scenario. And here's the deal, dude. You're just going to have to be patient on this, either path you take that we talked about. Just be patient. You'll get there, and I'm really proud of you. Thanks for calling. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose in your life. Life is just way too short for you to live for the weekend. Think about how much time you spend at work. You just want to kind of be okay and average. You want to deal with suck and miserable. Not me. I'm Ken Coleman. This is the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Christina, who joins us in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Christina, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet, Christina. What's up?
So I've been working at my job here and in the D.C. area for about 8 years. I started 2 years before I graduated and then have continued here since. We are a music school, and I basically, at this point, run the place. I am the office manager, but really should be titled like operations manager. And I was just wondering how to navigate trying to decide if to stay and help grow the business that has been very slowly been growing, or to just kind of spread out my wings, see if I find another place. Mainly, I've just seen a pattern of not real commitment from my boss, who is the owner. A lot of the stress about growing falls on me, maybe indirectly, maybe that's not his intention, but you know, I'm the only point of contact from anyone that asks questions about taking lessons and such. I think at this point I'm unhappy.
Oh my gosh, you're borderline miserable, Christina. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right.
Okay.
That's correct.
So let's kind of reverse engineer this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
When you called me, and I'm so glad you called me today. When you called me, what way were you leaning? What was your decision before you called me?
I've been thinking about resigning soon. But at the same time, I've worked here for a long time. We started with maybe 10 students. and now we're close to, I would say, like 200.
Yeah.
But that's over the span of about 8 years.
Yeah. So do you but minus the boss and some of the stresses and all the things that you mm-hmm. kind of touched on, do you love mm-hmm. any aspect of the work?
I do.
What do you love most about it?
I love providing music for kids and adults. I truly believe in music and the what it does for people. I know it's art. So you know that's slowly dying maybe in our country, but I know some people and parents and adult students, they really do enjoy music and enjoy the arts and education, and I love that.
I know you do. So if you were going to spread your wings, using your phrase, if you're going to do it your way, because you wish you could do it your way now, because his way is not working very well. And not only is his way not working very well, because it's not working very well, he's kind of putting that all on you and you're feeling all that pressure. If you were going to do it yourself, you would do something like this. Yes or no?
Yeah, I would enjoy having my own music school someday.
Okay, so what has to be true for you to eventually own your own music school? Do you know, and by the way, I'm not going to make you tell me all that right now because it doesn't matter. But do you know the answers to those questions? If I sat down in a room with you right now and I said, okay, get up on the whiteboard and sketch out what all has to be true for you to get to the point where you could start a school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then grow the school. You know the answers to that because of your experience, yes or no?
I do. I know that I would need to get rid of my debt first, of course, and then just,
have enough cash,
have enough cash for it
to start small. And this is not a heavy capital outlay to start a music school. I'm guessing you don't need a ton of capital investment. Am I right?
That's correct. Yeah, as long as you start with like a place that has a space.
Exactly.
starting with space is fine.
Exactly. Yeah. But you can rent that, right? You can lease space. You could probably lease instruments, or if the kids bring their own instruments, or if it's voice coaching, they are the instrument. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a minimal outlay. So you need to be super clear on what the minimal outlay of cash will need to be for you to do that one day. So now we go, the ultimate goal for you, the ultimate dream is for you to own your own school. And the good news is for 8 years, you've been learning how to run a music school.
Right.
You're ready right now as far as the skill and experience. Would you say that's true?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And there may be some like business aspects that I could learn.
Okay. Now, listen.
But yeah.
Either you learn that under this guy who you're frustrated with,
mm-hmm.
or you learn it under somebody else, but you aren't in a position to do this on your own. So that says, I got to be patient. And I got to tell you right now, coming from what I probably think is I'm the most impatient person in the world, patience sucks. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have any choice. Neither do I.
Right.
This is one of those seasons that you will look back on, Christina, and you will say, man, it was hard, but man, it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely. My advice to you is I would stay with this guy and learn the business aspects that you said you need to learn, and he's paying you to learn them. You said you're practically running the business. Well, go start doing all the other stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go get a job with another music school that's not as frustrating and you learn mm-hmm. the same thing. But you're going to have to work for somebody else right now anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I think you got to have to change your mindset a little bit. And when you start to get frustrated, go, I'm not going to get frustrated, because every time I get frustrated, I got to write something down. In fact, you know what I think would be fun for you for about 2 weeks? I'm going to give you a 2-week assignment. Mm-hmm. I want you to carry around with you a moleskin, because I love moleskins.
Yeah.
Okay, I love moleskins. You do too. Okay, great. And I would carry on a pencil because I love pencils. Because you know what's great about pencils? You can erase. And it doesn't make a mess. And so I carry around a moleskin and a pencil, and every time he frustrates you, I would go, that was frustrating because, and I would write it down. Now, two things are going to come out of that. Number one, it's therapeutic because you get it out of your head and you're not walking around pissy all day. You get it out and you go, okay, I'm going to write this down. That frustrated me. So it's therapeutic. Okay. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you're making notes on, I want to lead better. I want to do better. I'm not going to lead that way. I'm not going to do that way. I think it'd be a wonderful exercise for you. And here's the third benefit of that just came to me. Mm-hmm. Now you are keeping your eyes focused on, hey, any frustration I'm dealing with right now is value. It's value. Instead of it being a bother, it's a value. You're in what I would call the struggle right now, and the struggle makes us stronger. Your struggle happens to be a bad leader above you. But if you learn from it and you learn to process it properly, it's going to turn into something really, really special. So I don't think that you need to leave right now, unless you find a equally good pay music school, basically doing the same thing that would allow you the opportunity to learn. And I think you're in a unique situation. This bad leader relies on you so much that I don't think it's going to be difficult for you to get him to teach you every aspect of the business. And then one final point, because you're so valuable, and if you make yourself even more valuable in the days and weeks mm-hmm. ahead, I think you need to have the guts to sit down with him and with a real spirit of humility and a spirit of gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him what you're frustrated with, but don't just tell him. Say, hey, in my role, I experienced these frustrations, but I didn't want to come to you with just a frustration or a complaint. I wanted to come to you with a solution, and here's the solution. Mm-hmm. And if he goes, wow, okay, I'll rubber stamp that solution, then he's not mm-hmm. under attack, he's not defensive, and maybe you can be the change that you want. I would challenge you with that.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Awesome. Yes, thank you so much.
All right, Christine, I want to hear from you one day when you start this music school and you're up and running. I want to hear from you, whether it's on social media, DM me on Instagram, email the show, ask@kencoleman.com. I want to hear these stories. I want to hear these stories. I want to see the other side of this. This is The Ken Coleman Show. I got the juice now. I was scrolling through the old Instagram and Joe put a rock song on in my ear. Man, that's awesome. I feel like I need to do this segment from on top of the desk and then at the end of the next call, jump off of it. You know what I mean? I like that. That's good. I like that. By the way, this is my semi-annual reminder of the power of a playlist. So here's some bonus teaching that Joe just made me think of. So I've got all these different playlists on my phone, and they're based on the mood that I need to be in, right? I think a lot of people have mood music. They're like, well, I'm in a sad mood, so I want to listen to sad music. I don't like that. I don't know. Call me crazy. I don't like to be sad. So like the last thing I want to do when I'm sad is listen to sad music. So when I'm sad, I want to listen to some upbeat, happy music, maybe some inspiring, uplifting music. So anyway, I've got all these music lists on my phone that are for the mood I need to be in. So if I'm down, I want to be up. So I listen to my up list, right? If I need to be in a place of reflection and thought creating, so when I write books, I'll give you an example on this one. So I am a huge fan of big epic movie soundtracks. And so my favorite go-to soundtrack, and it's the list, it is the list. I've got about three of them. I got three soundtracks. And this is when I write. So when I wrote From Paycheck to Purpose, the new book, okay, the track that was playing, I had three of them, three soundtracks. Number one, Legends of the Fall. Okay, Legends of the Fall, fabulous. If you need to think and write, at least for me, this is what I do. Gladiator. Oh, man. I listen to Gladiator soundtrack and I just start writing. Stuff comes out. And then third, The Last Samurai. Tom Cruise. I could tell you something. That soundtrack is unbelievable. So here's my point. I have music lists that take me to the mood, to the mental state that I need to be in. And I'm going to tell you something. You ought to try it. That's just free. I didn't even plan to say that. But the whole show's free, so why are you griping? To the phones we go. Leticia joins us in Jacksonville, Florida. Leticia, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Leticia. What's up?
So I'm a teacher, mm-hmm. Elementary, and this is my ninth year of teaching. And this is even before the pandemic, about the last 3 years, I've been frustrated, and I've tried to figure out, like, I've changed schools, I've changed locations within the city, a lot of different variables, and I'm still frustrated, I'm still, like, overwhelmed, and I've had time to, like, think about, because I've listened to your show for, like, maybe close to 2 years now, and this school year, I'm just like, this has to be my last year.
Yeah.
I feel like I've done all that I can within the classroom, mm-hmm. and I'm no longer, I guess, feeling challenged and just really frustrated, like the behavior. Like there's a lot of things that I don't do besides teaching.
Yeah, it's done. We've already decided. You don't have to tell me anymore. Yeah. Let's talk about what we're doing next. Because you're right. You should be leaving. This environment is sucking your soul out of your body.
Yeah.
It's the environment. So the question becomes, I've had so many of these phone calls from teachers. So the question is, are you questioning whether or not you still want to do the work of instructing? Or are you saying, Ken, I know what I want to do and I don't know how to get there. Why'd you call me?
Yeah, so I feel like I know what I want to do.
Which
I
is?
Don't know. Yeah. So I like instructing, but like adults, like training.
Great. So what do you want to do?
Passion behind that. What'd you say?
What do you want to do?
So I want to be a trainer.
Corporate trainer?
Yes.
Training who? What are we training them on?
So training adults that need to get acclimated to their job, feel more comfortable with their position.
Yeah. So we got a little bit of, it's probably an HR role, some type of HR corporate training. It's really about, it's an internal position. You're not training customers, you're training the team. Great. So you don't know how to get there. So let's look at my seven stages to simplify it. Stage one is get clear. You've been listening for 2 years. You know this. You're clear. there might be a little extra clarity that you need to get in the sense of details, meaning what are some positions in the Jacksonville, Florida area or greater Florida area or around the whole country if you're willing to move, and get really honed in on, oh, I've done enough research on this type of a training role that I have a really good idea. I've seen enough job descriptions to go, this is the type of training specifically that I want to do. And then, do I know what it takes to get qualified? Now that's stage two. It's all okay. About getting qualified. The question becomes in stage two, and that's where you are. You're clear you might need to get a little bit of extra research, but then it's, okay, I'm in stage two, get qualified. So remember, there's four questions in get qualified, qualifying questions. The first is, what do I need to learn? That's the education question. Second question is, what do I need to do? That's the experience question. Third question is, how much is it going to cost me? That's the economic question. And the fourth question is, how long is that going to take me based on my finances? That's the expectation question. So we start with, what do I need to learn? I don't think you need a degree to do this, but maybe you do. Go find out. Okay. If it's some certification, that is education. You understand?
Yes.
I think that's what we do. And then we go, okay, based on the fact that you've been a teacher for, I think you said 9 years?
Yes.
I mean, I think you got the experience. What leader is going to look at you and go, oh, you've been in a public school classroom for 9 years? Yeah, I think you need some more experience teaching people. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I think you're okay there. But walk through those questions. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? And here's what happens when we get into that what do I need to do thing from an experience standpoint. You've really got to have the courage to look at your absolute body of work, everything you've done up to this point, and go, I do have experience doing this type of thing. There's really nominal differences as it relates to effectively instructing a school kid versus an adult. I mean, if you really break it down, would you agree with that?
No, yes, absolutely.
Okay, then. So I think that's really the thing. So now,
okay.
Once we get qualified, you're in stage three at the same time as you're getting qualified. Get connected. So now you're rocking your relationships and connections, your web of connections, and you've identified some positions and maybe some actual companies that have open positions. And so you're working your relationship tree, and you're shaking the tree, and opportunities are going to come your way. And then you're going to get it, and then you're going to be in stage four, get started. And now you're in a whole new career, but doing what you were created to do, to instruct, to communicate, to connect for transformation. Am I about right?
Yes, that sounds perfect. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And so now, now, once you get started, it's all about stage five, getting promoted, and you move up the ladder. You'll be in your dream job, and then it's just give yourself away. So that's, I'm showing you the path. It is the seven stages, and you know them, and you can do this.
Yeah.
So you started out the call very doubtful. You almost said, I don't know how to get there. Well, that's not true anymore. Am I right?
Yes. No, it's no longer correct.
Hey, I love it. So I have one thing left to say, Leticia. Go. Stop thinking and start acting. Stop worrying and start doing. And can I just tell you something? That's why I created those seven stages. I just want to review them because they are so simple in that they are clear and they are repeatable. Get clear. Get qualified. Get connected. You're going to get the opportunity to get started. Once I'm in and I've started, it's all about getting promoted, climbing the ladder. And I'm going to eventually climb the ladder and step into that dream job, stage six. And then when I'm there, the view has changed. I'm no longer looking up. I'm looking out, and it's giving myself away. It's impact that I'm after, not just income. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Remember this, you matter and you do have what it takes. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, folks, I want to make sure you check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Rachel Cruze Show.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel Cruze, and I'm so excited to tell you about my podcast. A lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're in debt. They don't even know where to begin, but they have this need, this want to get in control of their money. And if that's you, you have come to the right spot. So in each episode, you're going to get a ton of inspiration and practical advice. If you've not subscribed to The Rachel Cruze Show podcast, make sure you do it today.
To hear full episodes, search Rachel Cruze wherever you listen to podcasts or go to rachelcruze.com.